The News was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. 7:05 on February the 3rd. Phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. So good morning. It's a beautiful Tuesday morning. That the fact is that we don't have any rain, but we're going to talk about that in a couple minutes. So, Bad Bob, what's it look like for weather here?
Well, it looks like what little bit of rain is left around parts of the valley will taper off today. Then partly sunny and a high near 65, mostly cloudy tonight, low around 45, mostly sunny for your Wednesday. The high will be near 66. Then on Wednesday night, the situation changes. Rain mainly after 5 a.m. Low will be 44 that morning, and then high chance of rain throughout the rest of the day. Not a lot to write home about, less than a tenth of an inch being forecast. And right now in Reading, we do have 47 degrees. The report is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
Well, our customers are warm friends. You know, give them a call at 365-3793. They offer senior and veterans discounts. Now, that's Linda is down in Sacramento helping her parents move. She called last night and said it's a the weather down there is nice, at least. She said this is she hasn't moved in a while. Their parents haven't moved in 27 years, so you can imagine accumulation of stuff. But they are in the move, and the Packers and everybody's showing up today. Rain, let's talk about rain a little bit. Even though that today looks like it'd be a good rain, they say by Monday, we could have up to 8 inches of rain up here in this area. 8 inches of rain.
Bring it on.
Yeah. And that, however, this is what they call the Pineapple Express type of rain, in
warm.
The sense it's warm. Yeah, so you're not going to get any snow unless you're 7,000 to 8,000 feet up in the air. So I find that interesting. The fact is, though, is that we are getting rain, which is good news. But I think the main part of it looks like what? Coming in Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Yeah.
And it's tapering off Saturday and Sunday. So there's you're going to have, you know, have a chance to get all that stuff in, like the bridal show on Sunday out at Simpson University. Over 150 vendors out there, and they expect something like 500 brides and their families out at Simpson University for this, because this is the huge bridal show. And if you haven't been to one of these before, you really got to go. Because
Bridezilla's in training?
Well, no. I mean, it's just that they've got every vendor around here in the not just here. It's in Chico, coming down from Oregon, coming in from all different places, because they're, you know, they see a place where all the brides are. And you figure that the average wedding in Reading, okay, get this, in Reading, goes for like $20,000. The average wedding in Reading goes for $20,000. So everybody wants to get a piece of that, I would imagine. Plus, the brides want to be able to get the best deals, and this is the way they do it. So head on out to on Sunday out there to the bridal show at Simpson University. You're going to have a great time on Sunday. 8 inches of rain. Good. Because I think we're getting, January, they said in San Francisco had not one, they couldn't, there was no measurable rainfall.
Yeah.
In January in San Francisco.
Not a lot up here either.
Yeah. Josh Lowry, who is the chief deputy DA, is going to retire. He put his letter in like last Thursday. He's retiring today. It was a big surprise to everybody. I guess Steve Carlton, I don't know if it caught Carlton by surprise. I can't imagine somebody just retiring like that. And he says he retires. Retiring. He's 51. He's retiring. I'm not sure. Is he retiring with some kind of pension and all that kind of stuff that you can get from the state and the county? Is something like this? I would like to find out. I mean, what is he going to retire on? I mean,
we may never know the rest of the story.
Well, Duvernay is retiring. He'll be 55 when he retires. So he's got all this money coming. It's like $200,000 a year. And he can go anywhere he wants to and live in the United States. Except maybe San Francisco or New York. Then he would just be lower middle class there. But any place up here, he'd be living well. But I just was wondering how much Josh is going to be making. It really is my business because we are all taxpayers.
Money.
Yeah. His replacement's going to be Stephanie Bridget. And I believe
I know that name from somewhere.
It's probably the one that prosecuted you that time and they let you off, for the beard offense that you did, that you had.
I will neither confirm nor deny.
The ugliest beard. You're assaulting people's eyes with your beard. Hey, no, of course not. But she's, I believe, the first woman to hold this position.
Very good.
Yeah.
About time.
Something new. Anyway. Now, today we've got Brent Weaver coming on. Brent is one of our newest city council people. Of course, Christian Schrader is the other one. And tonight they're having the city council meeting. There's going to be a lot of votes going on. And, Brent's coming in today to talk about it. And, I cheer Brent. He ran a great race. He just swamped everybody. And now he's in there. And one of the things he ran on was crime, fighting crime. And I can't wait to hear what he thinks about this is that when he wants to jump into this, and the first thing that happens is they decide to say, hey, you know what, we need to have a study and it's going to take 8 months.
It will be interesting because
he doesn't seem like the kind of guy that waits.
Aren't you allowed to comment on specific agenda items while that agenda item is up for discussion? Isn't there a public comment during that item?
Yeah,
I think there is.
Yeah. Yeah. For what though?
About the dissolution of the utility commission.
Well, yeah, they're going to talk about that today, and there's a lot of questions. I've gotten people have been writing to me and with questions about it. You know, they don't want to call in, but they've got questions about the utility commission. I have questions about it. You know, we had questions for Missy last week. And we'll have questions for Kristen when we get her on, and questions for Francie when she comes on, if she comes on. I sent Francie a email the other day. I don't know if she got it. It concerned another one of the items on the agenda, which was changing the way that agenda items could be put on the agenda, I guess is the best way of putting it. In other words, from the way it sounded in the interview I saw, or a couple of words that she had in the Record Searchlight, was that it's something to the effect of, if the majority of the council don't want to hear what that agenda item is, then it won't get on the agenda, which means then that person or that council person, it could be two of them, say, hey, you know what, I'd really like to hear this. I really want to discuss this, the Electric Utilities Commission. And three others could say, nah, we don't want to hear it. And it doesn't make it on. I'm not sure that's what it means, but I think it is. And if that's the case, we're talking about disenfranchising up to two of your council people. So if you have, 14,000 or 15,000 people vote for them, that's like 30,000 people you've disenfranchised there. I mean, if they were different people. What if Francie and Kristen wanted to have something up, and Gary and Missy and Brent said, nah, I don't want to do that. I mean, what is their ability then to bring something up in the agenda and let people hear this? Anyway, I'm just waiting to see if that's indeed what it means. And if it is, I want to see how Brent would vote on something like that. I can't imagine people would vote to disenfranchise their own or to keep their own fellow city council members from trying to agendize things. All right, we're going to take a break. Carl Lindebot, KCNR, 1460. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry over there in 2225 Hilltop Drive. My friends, if you're looking for something for Valentine's Day, you have found the place. Leonard has got sales going on for Valentine's Day. It's only, 11 days away, and it's on a Saturday, so you want to be able to get it by that Friday, the 13th, so you don't have a lot of time. So head on down there. He's got everything from estate jewelry to brooches to rings to necklaces to watches, all of it. Loose stones, anything you could possibly imagine. Great deals down there. And the only trained watch repairman in the whole area that can fix watches, can probably even build watches. Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive across from Sierra Gibbs. Open Monday through Friday from 9 to 4:30. We'll be right back after these messages. Go get them.
You know, she comes around just about 5 feet four. I'm from her head to the ground.
Prepare for the coming summer with our winter special now through March at Sight for Sore Eyes on Cypress Avenue and save 50% on all sunglass frames. At Sight for Sore Eyes, we provide competitive prices and the personal service you can only get from a locally owned eye care professional. Right now, with your purchase of a complete pair of eyeglasses, we'll subtract $100, plus we'll give you a second pair of glasses absolutely free. This is a standalone offer not valid with any other offers, discounts, coupons, or insurance programs. Some restrictions apply. Please see our store for complete details. Sight for Sore Eyes has same-day service, precision-crafted lenses, and a large selection of stylish designer frames. Or if your budget is tight, we also have a large selection of budget-friendly frames. Fast, friendly service, reasonably priced eyewear, and veterans discounts are our specialty at Sight for Sore Eyes on Cypress Avenue next to Leslie's Pools. We accept all current doctor's prescriptions, all major credit cards, and we do your insurance paperwork. Sight for Sore Eyes. Call for an appointment today.
What are you in the mood for dinner tonight? How about a Jack's Grill world-famous steak, a fork tender filet mignon, a hot and juicy New York steak or broche of beef, cooked to perfection and so tender you can cut it with a smile? Maybe deep-fried prawns or golden-fried chicken, all served with garlic bread, hot baked potato or french fries, and a large family-style bowl of tossed green salad with homemade dressing of your choice. Are you in the mood? Meet friends and family at Jack's Grill, a Reading landmark since 1938. Open Monday through Saturday on California Street, downtown Reading.
Pre-planning your funeral or cremation will give you and your family peace of mind. Pre-planning guarantees that your wishes will be carried out. Prepaid plans locks in today's prices and gives you full control. Don't let your loved ones face confusing choices and high costs. Call Blair's Cremation and Burial Service at 241-3400 and let us assist in making life's challenges easier. For a consultation, call Blair's Cremation and Burial Service at 241-3400 or visit blairscremation.com.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
Attention all brides-to-be. If you're newly engaged or a wedding is on its way, on Sunday, February 8th from 11 to 3, the Simpson University Event Center is where you need to be. The Bridal Guide Wedding Show is your one-stop shop for all your wedding needs. It's the wedding show of the year. Sunday, February 8th from 11 to 3 at the Simpson Event Center. For more information, call 223-3868.
It's Carl and Linda Butt and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It is 7:19 in the morning today, the 3rd of February, 47 degrees out there today. You know, it's looking really overcast, so they say it's not going to rain. We're going to get a lot of rain, though, tomorrow, maybe starting tonight, and then Wednesday, and then Thursday, Friday. Tapering off Saturday and Sunday, of course. So good morning. A lot of things happening today. We have, my favorite, though, right now is reading about the White House. Does anybody get tired of reading about the White House and the things they do?
What have they done now?
Okay, well, here's the latest. You know, this guy Bergdahl. The guy that he left his post in the face of the enemy in hazardous conditions, wandered away, was captured by the Taliban, was kept for 5 years, and oh my God, he was kept in a cage and all these things. Well, wouldn't have been there, perhaps, if he had not left his post and walked away in his civilian clothes and kind of like wandered for the hills. Here's what's going on with this. Here is the war of words that's going on to avoid the problems with in the Obama administration. The Obama administration traded Bergdahl for 5 Taliban generals, and all of which then ended up in Qatar or Dubai. Sinai. They ended up someplace, Yemen. And so one of them has already been making contacts with his other Taliban. What happens is the, of course, the Obama administration wants to avoid this fact that they worked with terrorists. That's why they're calling the Taliban, although they're not terrorists. They may use terrorist tactics, but they're not terrorists. They are an armed insurgency. That way you can say, no, we traded Bergdahl as an exchange of prisoners. An exchange of prisoners as opposed to dealing, you know what, you're dealing with the terrorist organization. Well, no, they're not, even though they use terrorist tactics, come on, they use terrorist tactics, but they're not really a terrorist organization because they're just kind of in Afghanistan mostly. I swear, this is coming out of their, I mean, this is what their public relations guy says, their mouth there. And he goes, even though it's because it's limited to Afghanistan mostly. And then, let me finish this because I know Bob's over there. He is just, his beard's on fire. Okay. So now, the only other thing, though, is the U.S. State Department has listed the Taliban as a terrorist organization. So it's a terrorist organization to the State Department, but not to the White House. I don't quite understand this. I don't understand what's going on here. I mean, they're either a terrorist organization or they're not. So, I mean, and if they do use terrorist tactics, but not all the time, they're an armed insurrection. It's just an exchange of prisoners. Do you see what's going on here? And they're going to charge Bergdahl. They're going to charge him with desertion. They're not going to, that he's left forever, because something you can shoot. There's 3 different types of desertion. One, you're deserting, you're never planning on coming back. Well, you can't prove that. You can't really prove. That's really hard to prove. I don't know of any or many that have been, that we've had desert and we catch 2-3 years later. I don't think they ever get charged with that. But you can get them for a number of other things. But one of them is desertion in the face of danger and adversity in combat, which is the one they can get him on because he walked away and left. And so, again, we go back into the huge mistake that the Obama administration made by not understanding how the military felt about this. So, but one of the things we want to talk about today was that. And then the other is 111.5 million people watched the Super Bowl. 111.5 million watched the Super Bowl, which is more than voted, I believe.
Isn't that something?
It is. It is something.
I was just going to say what I was chuckling about is that if you could possibly harness the spin that the White House is putting out, we would never have to drill for another drop of oil.
Wow.
If you could harness that spin for energy.
Well, it's true. It's true. The thing about it is if you could do that, the spin on that and the spin on the Bergdahl thing and the spin on what we're going to talk about here is this $4 trillion budget. All of this. For all of this, it's unbelievable. I'm having problems. I'm trying to write things. We've got different things going. People.
We have live radio.
We have live radio here. This is scheduled for next week. Okay. And we will call him back. Okay. There. The other thing too is, okay, the $4 trillion budget. Yeah. We have a number of things going on. It's a Tuesday and we have guests calling in from all over the United States right now. Just tell them that we will call him back and, offer your apologies here. And then other people coming in from right here in town. Let's talk about this $4 trillion budget. We talked about it a little bit yesterday.
Yes, sir.
Deficits every year. Okay. Deficits every year for the next decade. Nowhere close to actually having a balanced budget. Not only that, but class tax warfare is going on here. I mean, you know, you want to tax the wealthy. Okay, fine. You want to tax businesses who make jobs. And then you want to tax, but you want to tax the stay-at-home moms. Or you don't, I shouldn't say you don't want to tax them. Well, maybe you are, because see, you're giving a tax break to the two working families, like the father or mother or the two people in the family. If they're working, they get a tax break. But if you're a mother that stays at home and takes care of the kids, you don't get a tax break. So there's something going on there too. I mean, why not give the family a tax break if you're saying a mom doesn't work? And then try to, I guess you're going to have it. Well, let's quantify how, you know, what kind of work she does. That'll be impossible. But $4 trillion. Doug LaMalfa is going to be on Friday, and I'm sure this is one of the subjects we're going to talk about. $4 trillion, and it's going to be short. I believe it said, you know, something like $585 billion to make it match. And, you know, and that counts all the things they're talking about if he gets all the taxes through. The question is why do we continue to write budgets that put us into higher deficits? Why do we do that? Why do we do that? And why do we spend money we don't have when we don't have to? I can't believe that we have to spend all this money, $4 trillion, you know, $500 billion more than we have, than we're going to be taking in, even at the best. I mean, and then if you have something that runs a little strange, you're not going to have that happen. But even then, why not have a balanced budget? Why not have a tax system that is easier to understand? Why not have a tax system that if you're going to do your own taxes, that, I mean, literally, you could probably do your own taxes. And if you own a house and you've got, and you know, something like this, is that it's simple, that it's just, hey, I own a house. This is how much, you know, you take off your mortgage interest. Oh, there are people who say, oh, do away with mortgage interest. I take off my mortgage interest. This is how much I spend. This is my deductions. I mean, how hard is, I mean, why can't they do that? I mean, people will say, well, you can do that. And I did my taxes. Well, but I tell you what, as soon as you take a step beyond the initial simple tax, I mean, you can do it, but you don't even know that you might be missing tax breaks, or you might not pay enough. And then they don't tell you that for 5 years.
And then penalize
them. And then when you call them, they're already telling you you're going to have a 30-minute wait. They're only going to get to 40% of the people. And even then, sometimes when you're talking to them and you're on wait, that you're after 40 minutes, boom, they just throw you off the line. I mean, so this whole thing is, you know, is set up so that you as a taxpayer could fail, and then they get you on their on the penalties, kind of like the REU.
Yeah,
that $2 million they pick up a year on penalties, it goes right to the city, into the budget, I believe. I'll ask Brent today.
Kind of a speed trap thing, you know, where the city has – you drive through the town and you're only supposed to go, you know, 26 and a half miles an hour or something, and then they bust you and they fill the coffers.
There you go. And, it's one of those things that I don't even know. You know, some of the things are is that I don't even know what I don't know. And so, you know, okay, you know, I mean, we have
Kafka
we
would
keep
be proud.
We keep our CPA, and our CPA is so great. His name is Rick Goyne. He and Lori Goyne have a great company right here in town. And if you're looking for somebody to do, you know, this is, they're not advertising with us, but these are just great people. And if you're looking for somebody to do your taxes and to be straight and to tell you that, you know, when I come up with these extravagant ways to, hey, this has got to be a write-off. And he just looks at me, laughs, you know, chuckles, points at the door and tells me to leave. And I thought, okay, that's not, obviously not a write-off. No, it's not a write-off. So, you know, all of these things, and they find it, and they're straight with you. But here's the thing: is how many mistakes are made out there every day, and you know, and how many of them are made in the sense that it's not because people are trying to hide things or do the wrong thing. It's so convoluted. Every year, it gets thicker and thicker. I mean, how could a person in business, unless you are a CPA or a bookkeeper of some kind, be able to do all the books and keep everything straight all during the year? Your quarterlies, your the payments you make, your federal taxes, your state taxes. I mean, at the end of the year, I pay exactly what they say I'm supposed to, and I'll get $25 or I'll get $225 back in a quarter. Why is that? Well, you paid too much. But this is exactly what you told me to pay. Well, you know, we made a mistake, and then at the end of the year, have to pay the state $250. I mean, what is this? I got one time they sent me a check for $1. Now, how much do you think that check cost?
Oh, to process and
Do all that kind of stuff. I mean, it had to be more than $1. I mean, hey, look, throw it in your fund. Hey, we got to take a break. Carl and DeBott, KCNR, 1460. When we come back, we're going to be talking to a guy by the name of Pete Bills, and he's going to tell you that one of the most important parts of your life is sleep and how you can sleep better. We'll be right back.
It's time once again to celebrate the North State's logging and construction heritage this weekend at the Shasta District Fairgrounds in Anderson with indoor and outdoor entertainment for the whole family and free admission for all. Hosted by the Sierra Cascade Logging Conference and sponsored in part by NorCal Kenworth and Wind River Resort and Casino, the event showcases the skills and equipment that make for good forest management and quality construction. Enjoy entertainment for the whole family with the Backhoe Rodeo, Lumberjack Competition, Wild Things Wildlife Show, exhibits, historical displays, truck driving and log loading skills competition, equipment displays, exhibits, and demonstrations. This is a great opportunity to teach our children about the responsible practices of this successful industry. With 3 full days of information, and it's all free to the public. For reservations at Host Hotel and River Resort and Casino, call 1-800-280-UN. The 2015 Forest Products and Construction Equipment Expo at the Fairgrounds at Anderson. Sponsors include Roseburg Forest Products, Rabobank, California Forestry Association, Wheelabrator Energy, Les Schwab Tires, and Trinity River Lumber.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 17 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta County. We've been blessed with over 4,000 customers that have chosen us to be their propane supplier. Our motto is, our customers are warm friends. Speaking of warm, summer is gone and fall is here. Now is the time to consider your propane service for this upcoming winter and give us a call at 365-3793. The price difference could be significant between companies, but price should not be the only consideration. Safety is our first priority, so we perform safety checks when we set a new tank. If dealing with a locally owned, family-operated company is important to you, then please give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. Give us a call and let us call you one of our warm friends.
Our world needs caring professionals to make a positive impact in our communities. Simpson University's Master's in Counseling Psychology degree prepares you for a career in marriage and family therapy. Our award-winning faculty brings practical clinical expertise and research into the classroom. Attend classes in the evening and earn your degree in just 2 years. Apply before March 1st. Classes begin in August. Be empowered to make a difference. Call today at 1-888-9-SIMPSON or visit us online at simpsonu.edu.
So, Chris, Second Tuesday meets at the Cottonwood Eatery, February 10th.
You know, I lost a big cottonwood tree in the fire last year.
Okay. Not sure what that has to do with our dinner at that great little eatery in Cottonwood.
Just saying. So, don't they have great homestyle dinners and great desserts?
Yes, they do. Won't you please join us Tuesday, February 10th, for great food and good company at the Cottonwood Eatery on Front Street in Cottonwood. And 15% of the proceeds will be donated to Haven Humane Society to help us continue to support the abused and homeless animals. It's all about friendship and helping the animals.
Thanks for joining Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, 7:33 in the morning today, February the 3rd, 2015, for those who are just catching up. 47 degrees right now. Looks like even though it's very overcast. I don't think it's supposed to be raining today. It's supposed to be a great day. Well, it goes up to 68, I guess. And okay, you need to
take a great day follow a good night?
As a great day follows a great night. There you go. Our phone lines are 605-4567, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Good morning to Joe, Angel, and Sungold, and others that are in there that I can see. This portion of the show brought to you by Owens Pharmacy. You know, Owens Pharmacy has their MedSync, which means if you've got one or more prescriptions, they're going to have them all sync up so they're due on one day. So you don't have to make multiple calls. You don't have to make multiple trips. Come down there just one time to pick up your prescriptions. Or even better, if you can't make it down there or you don't want to or you're just caught up with business, Owens delivers for free. That's right, for free. And your pharmacist is really one of your friends. You may not, you know, go out for dinner with them, but they're your friend because they know the type of medication you're taking. They know you. They're going to be checking your medication. It's kind of that last line of defense. We like to think of it as that, you know, it's right before, you know, if you have to fire the the final protective fire there. They're there to make sure that you get the right medications. All those Mullins Pharmacy, locally owned, locally operated, and they're just a great success story. Six pharmacies right here in the Reading area. Open Monday through Friday from 9 to 6, most of them. And compounds are made down on the one on Court Street, Owens Pharmacy. Hey, we're going to talk. You know, one of the things we talk about is sleep because we just brag about it all the time. But sleep is one of the main parts of health, of being able to regenerate your muscle. If you work out a lot, this is one of the ways, too, that you recover. And we've got Pete Bills with us today. Pete, good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
Well, you know what? I'm rested. So
I'm well rested myself.
You know, Pete, one of the things that, you know, you were on before and we talked about sleep and we talked about how important it is. If somebody's got a real workout routine, say they're getting ready to participate in a triathlon or a road race or whatever, you know, hiking or whatever, sleep is the way that you get, and this is the way you rest.
Absolutely. You know, almost all of the benefits of exercise, especially if you're an endurance athlete, I'm a marathoner, almost all of the benefits of exercise are realized during sleep. And unfortunately, a lot of people skimp on sleep to actually think they need to work out even more. And what happens, and I've seen it so many times, is people end up overtraining because they don't see the results that they think they should be seeing,
right.
And it's because they're not sleeping enough or don't get that quality sleep that they really need. But you're exactly right. It is such an important part of a healthy lifestyle. You know, I look at health as an equilateral triangle of diet, exercise, and sleep. And when you neglect any one of those three sides of the triangle, you hurt the other two. So you really do have to prioritize all three if you're going to really succeed in what you're trying to do.
Well, I believe in that. And the, you know, and people, you know, what do you, you know, people say, oh, you know, I only need 5 hours of sleep a night. That's just the way I am. And I find that really hard to believe that people, you know, I think your body needs more than that. Or I could be wrong. So, but you're the expert. Tell me.
No, there's no question about that. You know, by saying I can get by on 5 hours or I can learn to sleep on 6 hours or less, it's like saying, you know, I can learn to be 50 pounds overweight and nothing will happen. It's the same thinking. It's not a good strategy at all. In fact, the National Sleep Foundation just came out with new guidelines yesterday and still established that adults 7 to 9 hours and 8 is really still the target. All the research says that if you want to be optimal, you need 7.5 to 8 hours every single night, and you need to go to bed and get up at the same time every day. Unfortunately, we shift our schedules on the weekend. We sleep whenever the day's over, whatever that might be, when in fact we should establish our go-to-bed time and get-up time and then, you know, carve everything else around that. That's how important it is.
Well, I think you're right. You know, you end up, you know, you know, like my wife and I get up every morning at 5 o'clock, sometimes earlier, depending on when Elk Killer, the dog, gets us up. But it's usually at 5 o'clock, and and all of a sudden you find out it's 11 o'clock at night. And, you know, so you're, you know, exhausted and you go to bed. Sometimes, you know, we try to do the 9 o'clock, but, you know, luckily we, you know, we have our sleep number. We just fall asleep right away. But it's still carving out the time to go to bed.
Yeah, you really need to. You need to establish it a priority, just like you prioritize everything else in your healthy lifestyle of living. And sleep is one of those things. And at Sleep Number, we know, I do research all the time, and I know people can't always get the amount of sleep that they have to do, I mean, with kids and jobs and everything going on. So that places an extremely high priority on the quality of the sleep that you get. And that's why at Sleep Number we strive to, you know, really develop high-quality products that help you fall asleep fast, naturally, and get a higher quality of sleep. You're not tossing and turning as much. And, you know, if you just take a look at the average couple, they're so, so very different. But the average couple sleeps on a bed that's identical on both sides, which really doesn't make any sense. That really invites compromise. And that's why the Sleep Number bed was developed. And then, as you've alluded to, you know, we all change over time. So you need to be able to adjust your mattress as you change, whether you take on something like a triathlon or a marathon or just a 5K and you your body changes, your mattress should be able to change with you. And again, that's why Sleep Number beds are so advantaged over other mattresses.
Well, you know the thing about is mattresses. I mean, mattresses have been basically the same for hundreds of years.
The innerspring patent is over 100 years old. You're exactly right.
And
if you're in a bed that can't be different on one side to the other or can't change as you do, then again, you're disadvantaged right away.
I think so. The other part too, though, what would you tell people that are saying, okay, I don't want to take drugs. You know, how do I empty my mind? How do I go to sleep at night?
Well, I have two simple rules that are very difficult to follow. I have two teenage daughters, and I know how difficult they are to follow. One is avoid all caffeine after noon. Now, that's a really tough one for a lot of people, but if you need caffeine afternoon or if you're a regular user of it, that means you're not sleeping well. You're masking, you're hiding your sleep issue.
Now, when you say that, we're not just talking coffee. That's what everybody does, but we're talking sodas, diet drinks. Does that include iced tea, all that, right?
Yeah, dark chocolate. I mean, it's caffeine has a half-life in the human body of 6 to 7 to 8 hours.
Really?
So it's 3 o'clock, when you have that latte to get you through the rest of the day, at bedtime, half of that caffeine is still in your body. And you may be so tired that you fall asleep, but that amount of caffeine in your body is enough to disrupt deep sleep early on in the night. And that's why people wake up in the morning and they have to instantly have another caffeine hit because their sleep was compromised. So it's a tough one, but afternoon, try to avoid all caffeine. And then the other rule we have in our house here is 1 hour before bedtime, no screens are allowed to be on. No phones, no computers, no TVs. And that's for two reasons. One, the content. You know, if the last thing you do is turn off the TV, your mind's going to be racing on whatever it was. And so it's one of the biggest problems of people having to fall asleep is that racing mind. So do something non-screen related, and you'll be better off. But second off is the amount of light, especially blue light, that's shed by these devices is enough to cut off the production of melatonin, which is the hormone that cascades the whole sleep process to begin with. And it can delay sleep onset or deep sleep onset by hours if you are staring at a screen right before you go to bed. So, again, no caffeine afternoon and no screens an hour before you go to bed. And those two things alone will enrich people's sleep tremendously if they adhere to it.
Well, you know, you've right there when you said those two things, our whole, our producers, our board operators, the staff just they looked aghast when you said that. And they're just looking at me and I'm going, yeah, guys, hey, you want to sleep at night? You know, you got to turn off those. They're all a bunch of, they're all nerds and computer guys. And they, they look at things and then they the first thing in the morning, they come in here with gallons of coffee.
It's a tough choice.
So I've got them working out now. Now I'm going to start cutting back on their coffee. And we'll have a rebellion, and they'll find me. My producer right now is grasping his in two hands and is just looking at me. With a dare me to do that. Anyway.
Yeah.
Hey, well, Pete,
it's tough to make the right choices, but the science is telling us all of this, so it's not. Hearsay, it really is based on scientific sleep research. Very, very good research as well.
Well, Pete Bills is our guest, and of course he's a Sleep Number expert here. But one of the things he has said is, if you want a good night's sleep, you got to get rid of that racing mind. So turn off everything. Would you say a half hour before you go to sleep?
I recommend an hour before.
An hour. An hour you turn off all the screens, and the other is don't have any caffeine after noon.
Yep.
So there you go. And you've got the secret there, that and having a great bed like Sleep Number.
Yep, absolutely.
Pete, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, my pleasure. Continue to sleep well and have a great 2015. We'll talk to you soon.
You bet. Thanks a lot.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, I'm working out.
I'm working out. You showed up with your Spartan shirt on.
Yeah, my three days a week at least. No, 4 days. 4 days. I'm moving it up to 5 days a week here. And because 2015 for Linda and I is going to be be our year of health and magnificence there, and at least health. Okay, maybe not magnificence, but health. And the thing about it is that we need to to do that. You've got to get back into it because, you know, frankly, you know, for the first time in my life that I can remember, I didn't do very much last year. And I really, you know, I mean, I just kind of like didn't do much last year as far as physically taking care of myself. You know, I mean, we do some things, you know, go out and, you know, walk some, but nothing outstanding. And, you know, just getting back into it is something that is, you've got to train yourself to get back into it. So I've got a great guy down there at Adamson. He's going to be on tomorrow morning. In fact, he and Amy, we're going to talk getting in shape for this year in 2015. We're going to talk about physical training, but also diet. That's on at 7:30 tomorrow morning. I think you're going to have a good time listening to these two because they're crazy anyway. And this, and John is a kinesiologist. He's got his degrees in that, sports medicine and all this. But if you want to go, you want to make this year a healthy year, and all my guys and girls are heading down to Adamson's and they're all working out down there. Well, most of them are. I'm getting most of them down there. I'm going to push the rest of them down there soon because I want them all to be with me for the next 25 years. We'll be right back after these messages. Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR 1460.
Petroleum company, Northern Lights Energy.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. My wife Kathy and I are seeing a big drop in fuel costs, and a lot of our customers are seeing the difference in their fuel bills. We have a lot of you picking up ethanol-free 93 for all the chainsaws, weed eaters, and lawnmowers, thanks to Al Saw Shop. Gary and Josh are the propane kings. They fill bottles like they're on a NASCAR circuit, no waiting. Johnny and Beth are still doing a lot of heater work, so call in and ask about the free estimate if you're thinking about trading up. Sherry is doing a bunch of pay-forward accounts, so give her a call, and that's working very well also. In Corning, see Robin. In Weaverville, talk to Joe. And in Redding, the rest of us. Northern Lights Energy, where real people still answer the phone. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Not your average petroleum company, Northern Lights Energy.
If you take multiple prescriptions, you know the hassle of renewing prescriptions as they run out. Every prescription is another trip to the pharmacy. Oh, it could be 3 or 4 or 5 trips in a month. Now, Owens Pharmacy can make your life easier with MedSafe. It's a new service that adjusts your pill count so that all your prescriptions renew on the same day. One date to renew all your prescriptions for 30 or 90 days. And it's automatic. So you don't need to remember it. And you won't run out. Save time. Save gas. Save the hassle. Let us make your life easier. Call Owens Pharmacy today to sign up for MedSync. Imagine the time you'll save. Call 1-800-MY-OWENS and we'll give you one less thing to remember. Owens Pharmacy. Making your life easier.
At Mary's Pizza Shack, even the commercials are homemade.
By me.
And me.
And us.
Vincent and Luigi here at Mary's with some of our friends to tell everyone that Mary's Meal for Two is back.
Let's do this.
Get a medium 2-topping pizza or spaghetti with 2 of Mary's legendary giant meatballs, plus super salad and a Pepsi for each person.
All for just $21.95.
Let's open it up for questions.
Can I have lots of Parmesan cheese?
Freshly grated Parmesan cheese.
Can I dip everything in ranch dressing?
Homemade ranch dressing.
Why are Mary's meatballs so big?
Because that's how they grow on the meatball tree.
The meatball tree?
The meatball tree?
I think that makes sense.
How tall is the meatball tree?
Original recipes, original shack, Mary's Pizza Shack. Complete menu available for dine-in, takeout, and delivery in downtown Reading and at the Shasta outlets on Highway 273.
How do you plant a meatball tree?
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
You shine a star, no matter who you are. Shine bright to see.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's down in Sacramento. And good morning, everybody. It is 7:48 in the morning, 47 degrees out there. Weather is, is the weather going to be okay today?
Weather's going to be not bad at all.
It's kind of overcast.
Kind of, this morning, but it is going to clear off sunshine this afternoon, and we will be seeing rain by Wednesday night. and right. a fair amount of it. Not enough, but a fair amount.
Okay, we're going to have a lot by next Monday, though, I understand.
You need about 3 feet.
Yeah, we no, it's not going to be that much.
What we need.
That's what we need. Not all at one time. Hey, I'm here with Joanne McCarley. Really nice person here. She has she works over there at Shining Care, but the Grace Place, which is the that tea place,
yes.
that is just absolutely fabulous. If you haven't been there, we're going to talk about that a little bit, but we want to talk about the Sweetheart Fashion Show.
Yes, we're excited. We have the Sweethearts Fashion Show tea this Saturday. Uh-huh. There are still a few tickets left. And all of the proceeds from the event help our senior care programs. But it's going to be a fabulous time with a tea and luncheon and fashion show with all of the fashions brought to us by Carousel.
Oh, Carousel. Sam.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sam's a good person. We've yes. had Sam on.
And it's something for people of all ages. We have young models to older models.
Oh,
older.
Okay. Older.
Mature.
I think of
mature models. Mature.
Seasoned.
I like that. I'm one of those. Not a model.
Well, you're not that seasoned, though. Okay. Not like when you talk about Bob and I. Then you go past seasoned into, what do you go into that? Used? Yeah, used. How about that? You know, it's like a 54 truck. Okay. So all the proceeds are going to go to?
To Shining Care.
Great.
And our elder care programs.
Now, what is Shining Care for people that just go, oh, what's that?
What is that? We're a nonprofit, a local nonprofit, and our mission is to help elderly and adults with disabilities and their loved ones just figure out what they need and get all the right services and supports in place. And we also have a home care program and lots of really great services.
That's super. Now, in Grace Place, now, people that have not been in there, how would you describe that?
Oh, well, it's a charming little place. It's in the old Thompson House. If you're a longtime Reading resident, you'll know the Thompson House on the corner of Butte and Pine. So it's an old house that was built in 1897 that used to be a clothing store. A lot of people come in and say, I bought my first suit here.
Wow.
But it's just got a great homey feel, and we've now converted it into a tea house. We're not a what I call a foofy tea house. It's a very homey.
It's not a foofy. It's not, a foofy. It's not foofy.
It's very comfortable.
This is a North State tea house.
That's right.
People are carrying.
Yeah, we have free Wi-Fi. And so we have folks come in to read or yeah. do work or whatever.
And you have sandwiches.
But then we have come in for lunch.
Yeah.
We also have really great breakfast food. So we're open at 7:30 a.m.
Okay.
We serve all of the Pete's specialty coffees and mm-hmm. teas and all that.
Y'all right across the street from, across Pine from Corbett's.
Yes.
So if you know where Corbett's is and you're going, gee, I'm trying to, you know, they're trying to picture where this is. So you're right there where Corbett's, right across the street from Corbett's. And then there's a couple other businesses in there
yes.
with you along that little, but you are in like a house.
Yes.
And it's beautiful. It's yeah. really cute. So you walk in, your people are extremely friendly. And if you want tea, you've got all types of tea in there, loose tea, that you, I mean, which is what I prefer over
yes.
tea bags. I don't know why, but I do.
Good stuff.
And you can buy all types of tea accoutrements there.
Yes. Yes, we have the boutique there. So we have really great, unique items in our boutique, and they're affordable. And the great thing is it all goes to a good cause. So when you want to treat yourself or a friend to something special, you know you're also doing community service, which is pretty fun.
How'd you get into this? Have you always been a person that's been caring for other people?
Yeah, I'm a social worker. It's a sickness, really. But it's weird. I'm an entrepreneurial, conservative social worker. You don't find many of us anymore.
An entrepreneurial, conservative social worker.
Yes.
You know, I don't think I've ever even heard that all put together at one time.
Yes.
Like that.
Yeah, you know, working in the industry of social work for so many years, there are just so many needs out there. And I just feel like we as community members can step up and be creative in meeting the need. And so, you know, with Grace Place, for example, we're earning that money, providing a good service to the community that way, too, and earning the money that's needed, that's lacking in providing services.
Well, that's true. And, you know, and this is not going to get any better, I don't think, for the next few years.
I'm afraid.
So, and I'd like to see the city of Reading, you know, they step up and do things. You know, One Safe Place, you all, the others. But let me just tell people that, who have not been there to Grace Place, that I have been there. and I've had lunch there. And in fact, it's just a great place. People are extremely friendly. You have teas in there. I mean, I walked in one day, and Valentine's Day is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
They have some. I found a pocketbook or a purse or whatever you call those for Linda there. That she walked by and she looked at it. She goes, "Well, that's really nice." And when I looked at it with this, you know, I kept, you know, using my eyes back and forth with the girl, one of the girls that worked there. She just took it and she says, "I'll hold it," without Linda knowing that. So it was a surprise. But you have, you know, it's just a good place to go to, and the proceeds go to help our seniors.
Yes, it's a much needed program. We're here to fill the gaps in services for folks, and their loved ones.
Well, what do you do? Okay, now how do you use the funds there? I mean, for Shining Care, I mean, how do you use those?
Well, we have the Gatekeeper program, and we have which is a program that is partially funded by county through adult services, and the other part we're just being creative to meet the needs. So that's where businesses are equipped to understand when their older adult customers might be at risk, and we help them understand that you might just be that one trusted person that's a lifeline for that senior. And we train them, how do I talk to them if they have dementia, and how do I deal with it? And then they make the referral to us, and then it's our job to connect with that senior and find out what they really need to stay safe and healthy and get those supports in place. And sometimes it's just reconnecting them to family that may be far away. They don't know what's going on. A new appointment with the doctor, getting services into place. It's a number of things. So really, basically what we do is we help people figure out what they need, because often we don't know. We just know there's a change. We know it's not going well, but where do I turn next? So our job is to help the whole family just figure out what's the best plan for them and get them connected to the right services and supports. And it's very hands-on support.
Well, that's good, you know, because, you know, it's going on. And I realize with my folks as they got older and things that, you know, knock on wood, is that neither one of them had any type of mental problems, you know, no dementia or anything like that in their 80s. But, of course, their health was going downhill dramatically. And, you know, really, but my mom was nothing. She could help take care of my dad. Mm-hmm. When she got close, she was living with my sister at that time. Mm-hmm. And it's not everybody that has that opportunity.
Right.
And, you know, to have somebody there to take care of them. So having organizations like yours make sure they're not by themselves.
Yes. And even for the family, I always say we serve the family members, the loved ones of the senior, as much as we do the senior, because just helping them know, yes, I know what to do. We're a resource for the family. We have we partner closely with Passages Resource Center and a number of other organizations and work together to serve the family so that they can be equipped to be the caregiver.
Well, okay, now, so this is a big, you got the event now. It's going to be this Saturday.
This Saturday.
And it's a fashion show.
Yes, so we'll have, it will be a little foofy.
That'll
be fun. All out with all the tea sandwiches and we have really good desserts. Those of us that work in the building, we call it a hostile work environment because it's always something very good cooking in there.
Excuse me.
So, and then while everyone enjoys the great food and the tea, there'll be models walking through, and there'll be a little fashion show put on by Sam at Carousel.
Carousel. Mm-hmm. Okay, what time does it start?
11.
11 o'clock.
And tickets are still available. You can go on the graceplaceteahouse.org to get your tickets or call us. At Grace Place.
Or they can come in and have a spot of tea and buy tickets right there.
Absolutely. Take care of your Valentine shopping while you're there.
There you go. people know me probably realize I'm not really a foo-foo guy. But it's a nice place. It's you sit there and like you said, you got Wi-Fi and you've got the sandwiches and breakfast. You got it all there, and all the money goes to a good cause.
Yes,
and you get something for your money. It's not like going down to one of our, you know, to a place and just you throw money and it goes up someplace in New York.
Right. Yeah, this is very local.
And very local.
Most of our team, a lot of our team volunteer. I'm a volunteer for the most part. So, we're very conscious about making sure that all the proceeds, as much as possible, can go right directly to the care of the senior.
Great. Our guest has been Joanne McCarley, and who is the executive director of Shining Care, a nonprofit agency for elderly, and also has Grace Place, and they're having a super fashion show this Saturday at 11 o'clock.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you for what you do.
Thank you.
We'll be right back with Brent Weaver, and our newest Reading City Councilman. We'll be right back.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Obama is set to meet with his cabinet at the White House this afternoon.
The budget will be a top agenda item when the president meets with members of his cabinet in the West Wing. Mr. Obama wants to boost spending by $74 billion, divided equally between the military and domestic programs. And he wants to raise taxes on the rich and give tax breaks to the middle class and the working poor. Republicans, however, are calling it more taxing and spending.
This White House correspondent Greg Clugston, also at SRNnews.com. House Speaker John Boehner now weighing in on the vaccination debate.
Well, I don't know that we need another law, but I do believe that all children ought to be vaccinated.
And a measles outbreak that started in California has now spread to several states and affected more than 100 people. Most of the victims have not received vaccinations because of personal beliefs. After leaving from several inches of snow to more than 2 feet on the ground, snowstorms are gone for now, but in the areas where it fell, cold temperatures mean the snow's not going anywhere for a while.
The snow has come to an end across New England, so it looks like it's just going to be a cold and breezy day. Not any melting forecast to occur with temperatures remaining below freezing.
That's National Weather Service lead forecaster Bob Orovec. For the fourth time in the past 4 years, the House today expected to approve a plan to repeal Obamacare.
But for the first time, the legislation includes a provision for committees to develop a replacement. This will be the first opportunity for 47 new members of Congress to weigh in on the president's signature program. And if approved as expected, it'll be the first time the House can send the bill to a Republican-controlled Senate. The president has, of course, promised a veto.
That's SRN News Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines reporting. On Wall Street, the major indexes mostly in positive territory right now, including the Dow Jones Industrial Average up by 151 points and the high-tech leaning NASDAQ up by about 11. This is SRN News.
20 years of debt management services, nearly $100 million saved in finance charges. It's Trinity's 20th anniversary, and these are just a few of the milestones we're celebrating as we begin our third decade of helping people become debt-free for keeps.
My name is Mike. Trinity brought us relief by greatly reducing our interest and consolidating our bills into one easy-to-manage monthly payment.
Call 1-800-990-6976. 1-800-990-6976.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels America's Choice in Senior Home Care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or at visitingangels.com.
The gap in bachelor degree attainment between the nation's richest and poorest students by age 24 has doubled over the past four decades.
A study by two education organizations shows the percentage of students from the lowest income families earning a bachelor's degree has crept up just 3 points since 1970 to 9% overall by 2013. Meanwhile, college completion for students from the wealthiest families has risen noticeably from 44 to 77%. The report comes amid renewed debate on college affordability prompted by President Obama's proposal to make 2 years of college free.
That's SRN's Jeremy House reporting. U.S. home values rose at a modest pace in December, a sign there are too few potential buyers to bid up the prices. Real estate data provider CoreLogic says home prices rose 5% in December from 12 months earlier. Orders to U.S. factories dropped for a fifth consecutive month in December. A key category signaling business investment plans was down for a fourth straight month. This is SRN News. There's another auto recall in the news.
Jeep is recalling more than 228,000 SUVs worldwide to fix a software problem that can cause side airbags to inflate for no reason. The recall covers Jeep Cherokees from the 2014 and 2015 model years. Fiat Chrysler, which makes Jeeps, says there have been a small number of inadvertent airbag deployments. And Canadian safety regulators say the problem has occurred mainly in off-road situations.
That's SRN's Rich Thomason reporting. The ride-sharing service Uber is partnering with Carnegie Mellon University on a Pittsburgh research laboratory. They say it could lead to the development of driverless cars. The partnership announced yesterday includes Uber funding for faculty chairs and graduate fellowships at the private research university. Fiat Chrysler says its U.S. sales rose in January. They were up by 14% over a year ago. More details at srnnews.com.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Abbott. February the 3rd here, 2015, for those who are just kind of waking up with the groundhog. Groundhog Day was yesterday, and what is it, Pawtuxet Phil? Is that what it is called?
Punxsutawney Phil.
Punxsutawney Phil, when they went out, has saw his shadow for 6 weeks, I mean 6 more weeks of winter. At the same time, he bit the mayor on the ear. I mean, it did. It wasn't a kiss. He bit him. I thought, which is quite, you know, interesting. They bring him up in front of all these people, and they stick his face into the mayor's ear, and Phil bit him. It's just interesting, the look on the mayor's face. Phil looked pretty happy. Good morning. Phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com, 8:05 in the morning. Bad Bob, what are we looking at for weather here? And let's go through the weekend with everybody.
Well, today we're probably going to see some tapering off of the clouds, sunshine this afternoon. High near 65, mostly cloudy tonight. Low will be around 45. It'll be mostly sunny as Wednesday starts out. Wednesday night, however, everything turns around. Rain mainly after 5, and we will get a fair amount of it as we head into the weekend. It's going to be rain on Thursday and Friday. We could see a total of between 6 and 8 inches out of this storm. Now, could is the operative word, just like the East Coast could have been completely shut down. But right now, it looks like we're going to get a little more much-needed rain, not nearly enough. And right now, it is 48 degrees. The report is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
Hey, our customers are warm friends over Shasta Gas Propane, locally owned and operated with senior and veterans discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793. And this segment of the show is brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air, with over 20 years of service to all makes and models of heating and air conditioning systems right here in the North State. Warranties, guarantees. If you've got an emergency, Martin and his people work 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Alliance Heating and Air. Give them a call, 221-2642, or check out their website at homecomfort.org. We use Martin. In fact, he's getting ready to do a big job for us here. And I wouldn't have trusted it to anybody else but Alliance Heating and Air. Good morning. Our guest today is Brent Weaver, one of our newest city councilman.
Hey, good morning.
How are you
happy
doing?
Happy to be here, and appreciate the opportunity. And for all those out there listening, good morning to you.
You know, Brent, talk to me about, you know, you worked hard. I mean, you worked hard to get this position. And tell me what you think. I mean, is it what you thought it was going to be? Or, I mean, what's it been like since you took over?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I was driving home from work last night, and I was somewhat reflecting on the last 2 months, and it went by quicker than I could have imagined, and I was thinking to myself, it's a good thing that the process we go through for those who want to sit on the city council have to truly work for it, because when you have those moments after you're elected where, you know, you're close to exhaustion and, you know, you're trying to organize all of the, you know, thoughts and ideas, you know, how you can move things forward, and if you ever want to, you know, begin to feel sorry for yourself just a little bit, you remind yourself you made that decision to do it, and you campaigned for a year. And so, you know, I am very, you know, I'm enjoying my time so far. It's busy. I think the work's incredibly interesting. Talking with, you know, all different demographics in our community has been a good experience for me. And I'll tell you, after 2 months, Carl, as I'm, you know, people are asking me what it's like being on the council, you know, I'm encouraged. I do truly feel I can make a difference. And that's a cliche, but I feel that way after 2 months. So I'm excited.
Well, that's good. Yeah. You know what? That's why you were elected, is to make that difference. And the city council makeup changed, of course, for the most part. Well, two new people in. Francie, of course, has been there for a long time. Crime. One of the things you ran on was crime. I said ran, not on crime, but to fight crime.
Yeah.
And you wanted to put, you know, I want to start something. I want to hit the ground running. You had great ideas. Things you wanted to do. And then the first thing it seems like it happened was we got into a bureaucracy. And now it's 6 to 8 months before a study is going to be finished. And it's costing the city $90,000. Did you expect that?
Well, you know, I think the way you frame that question, I just so you know, I've heard that from other people in the community. And I would say I disagree with a little bit the premise of the question.
Okay.
So let me
No, that's fine.
Yeah, let me rephrase how I think I view coming into the process. I think there's two tracks here. I think you have a short-term track, and I think you have a long-term track. And my, you know, the principles that govern me, you know, whether it's for, you know, my business, whether it's my personal life with my kids, my family, or even city council, I assign probably a greater value to the long-term fix. And so that's why my first meeting on city council, we talked about, you know, moving forward on that strategic plan, I guess what we're calling the blueprint today, and very encouraged that was a 5-0 unanimous. Yes, let's bring that back. Let's move forward on discussing that. And so that ball is now moving forward, and certainly happy to, you know, talk about that further today. Now let's talk about the short-term track. Because of the campaign, I think we saw steps and tactics actually begin because of the course of the campaign and the discussion that we were having with, you know, myself, Mike Quinn, Michael DeQuisto, Patrick Jones, Francie, Kristen. And, you know, we saw, you know, even before the ink was dry on the new council members being seated, we had an increase in code enforcement officers. We had discussion on which locations in the community should be prioritized for cleanup. And we see now the one cleanup on the just north of the Cypress Bridge on the east side that got cleaned up that, you know, was in the paper recently. And we have another one scheduled with code enforcement and law enforcement up Mercy Canyon. So, again, I think that was moving forward because of that discussion that, you know, during the campaign. And then we've seen officers that were, you know, had responsibilities with traffic or some other areas. They've been pulled from that, and they've become bicycle cops downtown and up on Hilltop.
A couple days a week, right?
And that's been hit.
Yeah.
That's been met with huge success. But one of the things I would say on the short term, you know, I was trying to think of an analogy. It's, you know, we basically have asked our chief of police and all of our other law enforcement leaders, you know, if we're, you know, in this boat and there's holes in the bottom of this boat, you know, they got toes and fingers, you know, trying to keep the water out of this boat. And we're asking them to move, you know, these fingers out of these holes and move them over here. And, you know, so we have finite resources right now, finite staff.
Yeah, we're shifting our resources
and we're just shifting,
from spot to spot.
And yeah. That's fine, you know, for short term to listen, to be responsive to the community on a short term. But long term, we've got to fix this and we got to have an overall plan. And, you know, for those who say, well, we're spending $80,000, $90,000, instead of taking that on a plan, go hire two more CSOs or whatever you're going to do. I would simply say, with my experiences in the business world, my experiences of building companies, if you start with a good plan, you will save money, you'll save resources, and you'll save time.
In the long run.
Yeah.
What we have now is with the new code enforcement and the policemen going out, they're cleaning up these camps. Well, as people have noticed, that we've had a big uptick in the people downtown now. There was an ordinance during the Christmas time that was put into the parking structure down there, you know, and a policeman was put in there through Christmas, and it cleaned the place up. And as soon as the policeman left, people were back down there again. When I asked Councilwoman MacArthur, and I asked Missy about, are there ordinances coming that's going to be like no standing, no line, you know, on the sidewalks and all this? And that would be for everybody, not aimed at anybody. Are we going to see ordinance like this to kind of like get that one back?
Sure. This is what I know right now. part of the caution of, and this is a debate I think needs to take place in the community, if you're going to go to a blanket, you know, across the board, you can't be asking for, you know, donations or asking for money. That does not only affect the panhandlers, but it affects the charities. You know, so Salvation Army, you know, they then can't be in front of Target or some of these other big box stores asking for money. And I'll tell you, in Sacramento, different places, they have enacted this because, quite frankly, the problem has gotten so big, they've had to do that. The language I've heard in the last few months that Chief Paletti is working on is more of an ordinance where you can't pass money between a car window and to somebody standing on the side of the street,
right?
Because it creates a, you know, that you got a traffic pile up, you know. Yeah.
I understand it, and it's the panhandling in the middle, and I think you can do that one because then you can still. I wasn't even thinking about the panhandling, though. That's still there. Mm-hmm. I was just thinking about the, you know, like on the sidewalks. You see these people laying there on the sidewalks.
The
I'm sorry, I wasn't clear, but we got to take a break. Yeah, they're lying there, and you know, Linda, oh. She's going down walking past Maritime.
Mm-hmm.
People defecated on the street there. They mm-hmm. were, you know, they're down there, you know, in that area there that's down into the, where the church is. Down in, you know, you walk down the stairs all around where Sam Allen is. She said it was just, I mean, it was horrendous going through there. And I think that's, you know, that's what I'm getting at is that there's got to be some way we can take our streets back. But we got to take a quick break here and we'll be right back. Brent Weaver is our guest.
And all brides-to-be, if you're newly engaged or a wedding is on its way. On Sunday, February 8th from 11 to 3, the Simpson University Event Center is where you need to be. The Bridal Guide Wedding Show is your one-stop shop for all your wedding needs. Over 150 professionals from caterers, florists, DJs, venues, officiates, wedding gowns, bridesmaid dresses, tuxedos, wedding cakes, and much more. If you're just getting started, what better way to plan that special day than to have everything you'll need under one roof? There's always something new and exciting at the wedding show, and you could win a special honeymoon trip. So gather up your bridal party and head down to the Bridal Guide Wedding Show, Sunday, February 8th at Simpson University Event Center on Shasta View Drive. For more information, call 223-3868. It's the wedding show of the year.
The Patriot Gold and Silver Exchange sells a wide variety of freeze-dried emergency foods. But in times of crisis, all you need to do is add hot water. To help you heat that water, the Patriot now carries the Sun Rocket Solar Water Heater and Thermos. This amazing compact device can heat to a boil 2 cups of water in just over an hour using just ordinary sunlight. Use it in meal preparation, melt snow for drinking, and eliminate Giardia and other waterborne bacteria through heat pasteurization. It's ideal for camping, picnics, and sporting events, and essential in any home or auto emergency kit. Remember, peace of mind is selling your gold and silver coins and bullion for a fair price. It's protecting your wealth with gold and silver. It's knowing your family has access to nourishing quality food and emergency supplies in times of distress. The Patriot is your peace of mind store. Don't pay more and wait weeks for delivery. In Reading, we're located in the Sunset Plaza at 3637 Eureka Way, next to the Round Table. In Chico, we're located on East Avenue in the Safeway Marketplace. In Corning, we're in the Olive Tree Plaza. And in Palisadro, we're in the Holiday Marketplace. Come to the Patriot and get peace of mind today for less.
Shopping local, staying local, builds a community.
Downtown Reading is the place to be. Stylish shops, trendy boutiques, fabulous food, and a whole lot of history. Shop local and support these amazing business owners. By shopping local, you help your community thrive. So what do you say? Let's meet downtown. Unique stores and more in beautiful downtown Reading.
Step away from the keyboard. Shop local in downtown Reading.
In the 40s, Reading Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Reading Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have we. Through the decades, we have served Reading with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism we would expect for our own families. When you need to get to or from the airport to the train station, perhaps, we're there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Reading Yellow Cab at 222-1234, and we'll be there for you.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, 8:19 in the morning here, the 3rd of February. I'm here with Brent Weaver, one of our two new Reading City Council people. Good morning, Brent. Thanks for being with us. I appreciate the fact that you're here. because.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, and the fact is that, you know, that I know that people told you not to be here. And Brenda says, you know what? If I can't be here, where can I be? Yeah. That kind of thing.
Well, you know what I'll say, Carl, is you have family members, you have close friends, yeah. You know, advisors, and they care about you. And,
sure.
And it's obviously not you or Linda or Trish, but, right. You know, sometimes, you know, we're passionate, you know, and we get certain calls.
Sure.
And so, you know, I'll tell you, you know, my dad's been out of town for the last several weeks, and he said, hey, you know, I might want to come down to the council chambers tonight. And, you know, I said to him, you know, maybe take tonight off. Let's get you come to one that's maybe a little more friendly. And it's not because, you know, he doesn't understand or can't process the public square or, you know, mm-hmm. how ideas are exchanged, but they feel protective of the people
oh, sure.
they care
of
about.
Course
and that's
do.
Where I think that's coming from.
Okay, well, that leads us to the public comment section. That was moved from the beginning of the city council meeting to the end.
Yeah.
Both the Record Searchlight and me and many others that spoke that night said, what's wrong with keeping 30 minutes at the front of the meeting?
Yeah, you know, hey, fair question. And, you know, I think there was somebody from the Electric Utility Commission that was on a few days ago that made a comment that so far, you know, the actions that this new council have taken have all been to suppress public comment. And I took issue with that. It's everything from the way I was raised. My mom was born in Thailand, came over to America, and, you know, I got to see firsthand my mother, my grandmother, you know, what it meant to live in this country and make a new life for themselves and how much they appreciated democracy and that process. And so I was raised with those values. And when I see somebody challenge that, maybe that's to the body at whole. But for me personally, I take issue with that. Regarding the public comment, you know, I will tell you, I struggled with that to a high degree. And, you know, while we got time, I think it'd be good for your listeners out there. You probably, after I'm done, aren't going to change your opinion of where I stand, but at least you can understand how I got to where I got to. I would say on the front end, I would agree, good governance, you know, that what I read, it does say, you know, it should be at the front. It makes it easier. It's more inviting.
Sure.
And I understand and I appreciate that. But I had to reconcile where we're at this point in time in Reading. And one of the things I ran on was trying to pull the community together, pull the council together, and work with people. And I didn't take – it's not hard to look and see the divisiveness that's been on the council for the last several years, the divisiveness of some of the stuff that is said in council chambers, and you should expect that. But I think for me, at least, as I was weighing it, it's gone above a level of healthy discourse. And so
you're talking about the people who are making comments at the beginning,
and
right?
It's okay for us to have our differences. But, you know, again, being a father of four children, sometimes you got to send people to time out for a second to bring them back to the table to talk again. Agree with me, don't agree with me, but that's my thought is I want to bring the tension down a little bit.
So you would go back and revisit this then?
What I'm saying is when a new council is seated in 2 years, if that new council wants to bring it up, I will certainly look at it again. But for this point in time, I have no hesitation that I made the right decision for what I've observed.
The ones that I see for that 30 minutes, there may have been a couple of them that were bombastic, let me put it that way. But most of the people there that came up had questions about roads and cities and, you know, say he'd like to talk about this. I mean, you all can't say anything or can't make decisions. But mm-hmm. that's the part that kind of concerns me. I've got, you know, I mean, if you don't know when that's going to be open. It's going to be at 10 or 11 or 9:30 or mm-hmm. whatever. Some of us, you know, get up early, like you and me. You've got jobs. So that was my concern, was that we were punishing everybody because of the actions if two of your kids do something wrong, you don't send them all to their room.
Well, second thing would be I looked at precedents here, mm-hmm. and there was precedents where it's been at the back, it's been at the front, it's been at the back. If there hadn't been that precedence there, as a new council member, I probably would not have weighed into that. But because there was precedence and also based on what I observed, you know, I'm comfortable with the decision I made.
Okay. Let's go to the next one. Francie Sullivan has something on the agenda tonight. And I sent Francie an email just to see if I understood it. I haven't heard back from her yet. It says about the way we put things on the agenda, the way the city council members put things on the agenda. It looks like the way it's written is it's going to take a majority of the city council to agree if one of the council members wants to put something on the agenda, the majority of the city council has to agree to even get it on the agenda.
Well, you know, the way
that's the way I read that.
The way I read it is she wants to have a discussion, and it was 5-0, Gary. I think everyone agreed, sure, we'll have a discussion. So I did a little history, you know, homework on this issue myself. Again, I wanted to see if there was precedence. When did item 12 come into creation? And so what I learned was going back roughly 4 or 5 years ago, we didn't have item 12. It was, you know, going back, you know, decades and decades, it was if a council member wanted to get something on the regular calendar, they just went to the city manager,
yeah,
and it went on the regular calendar. Then roughly 4 or 5 years ago, that council decided to put item 12 on there, where you know, have to have a minimum of 3 consenting votes to get an item on the regular calendar. So there's currently 2 ways to get something on the regular calendar. You can either go through CURT or you can go through item 12. That's the history of it. And, you know, what I'll say right now, Carl, is I don't typically forecast how I'm going to go, but looking forward to the discussion tonight.
I'm not sure what that means. Would you – but the way I look at it, if this is true, is the if 3 council members don't want to have something on the agenda, they will tell the other 2 council members that do that you can't do it. Is if that's what it's going to be, would you support that?
Again, I'm not going to forecast my vote. So when you say you don't understand it, is you don't understand my position, or you don't understand the way Francie wrote the language?
Well, I mean, the way I understand it is if it takes a majority of the city council, what that does is effectively, if it's 4-1 or 3-2, it effectively keeps the city council from putting an agenda item on the agenda. I mean, totally. So, I mean, why are they sitting there if they want to talk about something and 3 of them don't?
Sure.
I mean, it is. I mean, doesn't it disenfranchise voters?
So what Mayor Sullivan has said, she wants to have a discussion about that tonight, and all the other council members have agreed to have that discussion, and I'm not going to tell you which way I'm going to go, but that's how I understand it, and hopefully that's not hard to understand.
Okay. Let's go to the phone. Terry, good morning. Do you have a question?
I do. Let me get this straight, Brent. Okay, you want to give the children of Reading a timeout for 2 years. That's what you're saying. So in other words, as an employee of the people, you're going to tell the people you've been naughty, and so therefore I'm giving you a timeout, number one. Number two, if things are said behind closed doors amongst council members, that's the council's issues. What has that got to do with public comment? The other thing is that, my friend, you did not divide people. You did not have a situation in Reading where you divided them or there was a division. No, what you've done is you've united people. The Record Searchlight, the ACLU, the League of Women's Voters, the unions. Heck, the unions now with Andrew Meredith and Tom Corrado have a radio program with Patrick Jones. We have everybody on the same page on all these issues, including the RU. No, you haven't done anything but unite the people of Reading to wonder what this council is doing.
Do you have a question, Terry?
Or is the question is, why in the world do you think you have the position of telling the people of Reading they need a timeout with public comment? They just need a timeout, like the children do. I want to know why you think that the people need a timeout from freedom of speech.
Okay.
I want to know that.
All right, Terry, thanks.
Yeah, hey, Terry, great question. And I'll just respond, when adults act like children, they do need to go to timeout. And again, when I hear from people that we work for the people. We do work for the people, but we work for – you need to add one more word in there. We work for all the people. And one of the things I can tell you, if you ever run for city council, as you're sitting there and you're considering some of the issues that are going to come before you, you are trying to weigh all of the people of Reading. And everyone has value. All of their opinions, you know, mean something. Quite frankly, I know you and I don't agree on this issue, but your opinion matters. The people who call in on this radio show, their opinion matters. And I'm weighing that along with that of all of the other demographics of Reading as I'm trying to make the right decision. You know, Carl, one of the other things that, you know, kind of came up in, I believe, Missy's interview that I took small exception to, there was a comment made, well, are we just going to expect for the next 2 years it's going to be 4-1, 4-1? And no, I don't think that is the case. You know, we had a very serious issue come up on marijuana. And that was a 3-2. That was Gary and myself. And I really wish that we would have pushed that forward and adopted the language and ordinance of that the county did, because I think that was the right thing to do for law enforcement was behind that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we're pretty early into this, and we're going to see votes come, go, and, you know, 4-1s, 5-0s, 3-2s, but got to give us a chance.
All right. Our guest is Brent Weaver, Reading City Councilman. We're going to take a quick break here. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 17 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta County. We've been blessed with over 4,000 customers that have chosen us to be their propane supplier. Our motto is, our customers are warm friends. Speaking of warm, summer is gone and fall is here. Now is the time to consider your propane service for this upcoming winter and give us a call at 365-3793. The price difference could be significant between companies, but price should not be the only consideration. Safety is our first priority, so we perform safety checks when we set a new tank. If dealing with a locally owned, family-operated company is important to you, then please give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. Give us a call and let us call you one of our warm friends.
It's time once again to celebrate the North State's logging and construction heritage this weekend at the Shasta District Fairgrounds in Anderson, with indoor and outdoor entertainment for the whole family and free admission for all. Hosted by the Sierra Cascade Logging Conference and sponsored in part by Northern Lights Energy, Muse Trucking, and Reading Bank of Commerce. This event showcases the skills and equipment that make for good forest management and quality construction. Enjoy entertainment for the whole family with backhoe rodeo, lumberjack competition, displays, truck driving, and log loading skills competition, equipment displays, exhibits, and demonstrations. This is a great opportunity to teach our children about the responsible practices of this successful industry with 3 full days of information, and it's all free to the public. For reservation at Host Hotel Wind River Resort and Casino, call 1-800-280-UWIN. The 2015 Forest Products and Construction Equipment Expo at the Fairgrounds at Anderson. Sponsors include Sierra Pacific Industries, Tri-Counties Bank, WM Beatty & Associates, Eddie Axner Construction, Shasta College, and Warner Enterprises.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Linda is on her way to Sacramento, or she is in Sacramento helping her parents move. And that's, you know, Brent Alt came in and like everybody else says, where's Linda? 8:33 in the morning. It is 47 degrees out there. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop right off Athens Avenue. Take a step back in time for great haircuts, great prices, discounts for seniors and veterans. Man's last stronghold, Cypress Square Barbershop. Our guest is Brent Weaver, Reading City Councilman. Electric Utility Commission is causing all types of consternation. It's very, you know, it's not every, I don't agree with the Record Searchlight's editorial. A lot of the time. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe some of the times. They and I, and it's kind of scary that we've both agreed on, one was on the public comment, we've already addressed that. The one about the Electric Utilities Commission, we also agreed on that. The last time it was read to do away with the commission, it was 4-1, and you're going to vote tonight to possibly do away with the REU. Commission or the Electric Utilities
Correct.
Commission.
Yep.
What is the reasoning behind this?
So, you know, maybe, Carl, for your benefit and for that of the audience, you know, 2 weeks ago, I'll share some of the comments I had in public during the public comment time for the council members. And, you know, so I've had a chance to speak with several of the EUC members, the chairman. I've had a chance to talk with people and staff. And, you know, again, trying to form an opinion, wasn't expecting to deal with this issue this early into the new city council. But again, you know, we all signed up for this. You need to take a vote. I don't believe in, you know, not voting. And so, again, when it came up the first time, I needed some additional time. Just, you know, when we first got sworn in, the pre-orientation meetings, you're just bombarded with meetings and you're trying to keep up with the number of things you need to make decisions on. So we bought ourselves a few weeks, and the issue came back. And the, you know, there's great arguments on both sides for it. And so I had to take a step back, you know, and say, all right, well, for me, based on my life experiences of being a business owner, you know, how could I use and leverage that utility commission? And what I shared in that meeting 2 weeks ago was I signed up for this job. Yeah, I am busy. I've heard what you've said, Carl, you know, about me being a business person and running businesses and having a family. But I signed up for this.
Mm-hmm.
And I have got to make sure I put the time in for those most critical items and issues. And REU would be included in that. So, again, going back to how I, you know, my management style. And everyone has different styles and doesn't make it good, bad, you know, worse. It's just we have our own styles. And I said, you know, from the dais that I would like to hear the information unfiltered from, you know, our staff, you know, as I'm trying to make determinations on that. You know, when I went back and I did the research on the charter of the EUC originally, you know, with Gary and Patrick, it was they were pushing it more towards a watchdog a body. Rick Bassetti was the tie-breaking vote, and Rick said that it wasn't so much the watchdog that he, you know, was going to get behind as much as they can help interpret some of the difficult challenges coming down for the Reading Electric Utility. It's incredibly complex, as we all know, and so they can help us, you know, dive into the, you know, number of issues and regulations that the electric utility has to deal with. So, again, I'm a guy that would prefer less committees. I don't believe more cooks in the kitchen are better, and I signed up for it. The buck stops with me, so I want to handle it. That's what I said that night. You know, I will tell you again, we've had 2 weeks go by, and we're going to have a second reading, and I think it's my job as a city council person to, you know, take in new information. You know, one of the things I struggle with, you know, with companies, individuals, is when they are just set in their ideology and they can't take in new information. So I need to take that medicine myself, mm-hmm. and I need to also take in new information. Then I need to reconcile that and decide if I'm going to support where I was 2 weeks ago or go a different direction. So we'll see where that goes tonight.
Okay, if you vote to do away with the EUC, and it sounds like you, I mean, I don't know how you're going to vote, but you voted for it before. Are you going to vote to do away with the other commissions and committees also?
Well, again, I think that comment and that argument is like an apples to oranges comment because, you know, certain commissions are mandated by the state of California. Certain commissions have been there since the beginning of time. And no, you would not touch those commissions. But ones that have been maybe recently created, I think as new councils come and go, they might want to look at, you know, is there value there? Because, again, as councils change, the personality and the collective management style changes. And, you know, we know that with Francie and Missy, they weren't for the Electric Utility Commission in the beginning. So they're consistent with where they've been. And then you have Kristen and myself, and we're trying to come up to speed with our management style. And does that, you know, interact? There's two things regarding we've heard a lot of arguments, but there's two things that are not lost on me. One is that it can be a place of public comment. And I agree. I think that anytime we can have more public participation, that's a good thing. They have not gotten the type of participation with the public that I think they would also agree. They you know, what I've heard Adam McElvain say is, well, if they get to a rate increase, then that will, you know, bring people.
It's like all the commissions or committees, when you go to them, there's there's not a lot of there's a lot of people, and I could even say that about the city council at times.
Right.
There's no, you, the most of the people there are the ones working for the city.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's not a, good argument for on either side.
There. Yeah. And so can the city council absorb that public comment that's taking place there? You know, I've had to kind of weigh that. And then the second item is oversight. And so that is also not lost upon me. You know, with a organization that's that complex, managing that much money and assets, making sure we have clear, defined management and oversight is important. So again, I'm also weighing that. So those are the two items that I'm reconciling as I'm moving into tonight.
We have some very bright people that were appointed by everybody on the city council, appointed people there, bookkeepers, engineers, and such. And they've been doing it for 15, 16 months. So the big thing is that they're up to speed. Their budget, they've taken half of what they were budgeted for to come up. And it seems like it's a agency or a group of people that somebody new on the job, like you and Kristen, could just, I mean, if nothing else, task them to do things, or at least to get you up to speed. I don't know how many commission meetings you've been to.
Two.
Okay. Yeah. And then from what has happened with the IRS, this IRS coming in and checking about, into our books.
So great example. So specifically, what would you have the commission do with that IRS audit? What would you have them do?
What would I have them do?
Yeah, if you were in my position, what would you have the commission specifically do? Read the IRS audit and tell us how to interpret it? So again, when people say they can do this and that, tell me specifically what can they do?
This is specifically and we can even go back further. If we had had that commission when this pilot lawsuit came up, if they had come up to you as a city council person, look, this is what's happening. If we vote to do a payment in lieu of taxes, this could come back. This is illegal. And would tell you this. And then the same thing with the IRS is that if they'd already been in existence and they had said, look, this is something that you need to take a look at, you need to be warned about, instead of all of a sudden 5 years later it catches up to us. See, those are the kind of things I think, because this is a very difficult, job here, the REU.
Yeah.
And frankly, your job, I know you're spending time on, I know the rest of them are. But it's not a full-time job. It's, even though it is a full-time job, that's another question. But see, that's what they can do.
Okay. Let me address that then. So, okay, I think the IRS audit is a good example of, what specifically could they do. And I think a second item to consider would be on the pilot. Because, I think this is one of the biggest issues, for this new council to be hit with, I think we're equal to the task, whatever way that goes. Now, regarding the Electric Utility Commission, again, what specifically could they do to add value, for my position as a city councilor? Again, they are there, to be an advisory. And what I would tell you on the pilot program, again, this is my management style, Carl, agree with me or don't, I would rather hear that specifically from our legal counsel's mouth or from, our upper level management.
We did.
Well,
we got it from Duvernay and Kurt Starman, and now we've lost the case in court. It went to a vote, but there's also there would be another voice. You're not just hearing the staff, and there's the part I guess I get at. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying the staff aren't great people,
mm-hmm.
but now you've got a separate voice that is maybe has a different outlook than the staff. And if that's the case, you need to hear that, and not just the staff. That's what I'm getting at.
Okay, and that's fair. So that's your management style.
Well, I like to get all the information I possibly can
before I
commit my forces.
As do I, Carl. And I will just say again, we all know Carl from the different people we rub shoulders with and we talk to. Everyone has their bias based on their backgrounds. And I would just say again, regarding this particular item, I would have to factor in the bias of each individual member on that commission. They were selected and picked by different council members. They might have different political motives for why they put certain people on there. And again, I'm trying to be honest. Maybe you don't agree with me, but again, I would rather hear that information unfiltered and then make my own determination as a city councilor.
So you don't want to hear it then from Kurt Starman?
I would want to hear it from upper levels in management and our legal counsel, but I don't need potentially somebody that's off the streets trying to interpret that same information and tell me how to think. And I'm not sure if that's what you meant, Carl, but
I'm talking about your committee that you've appointed, that they're up to speed. They're bright people. And maybe they are. Maybe Francie has one that they appointed and Gary Catt has one. But they're still, if they come in, they care about our city. It's saying, here's something you need to know. Yes, this is just the other outlook. Because when we do courses of action, we get three courses of action. One of them is just outrageous. And then the other two could be close. But you as the decision maker needs to have these courses of action and not just one.
Mm-hmm.
Not just one from the staff who are all working, you know, with each other. The head of REU works for Kurt Starman. You know, see how I'm saying is there's I'm not saying they're not honest. I'm just saying there needs to be someplace else in there.
Yeah.
As, you know, that's my opinion, and I think that...
Okay, fair.
Okay, and that's where we're going for. All right, let's go to the phones.
Hello.
Red, good morning. You have a question for Brent Weaver.
I had an answer for Brent Weaver. He said he would like to know what value the commission would provide. And I would like to say that I, as a citizen and a taxpayer and a voter, would find value in an independent body that could assure me that my city council and my public utility are not colluding against me to defraud me of money in, say, like, fake tax schemes. I think that's the intrinsic value, is the trust issue that has been developed. And the second thing I would like to add is thank you, Brent, for everything that you've done. And the council, I hope you guys continue to do it because you are bringing the city together, and I appreciate that.
Thanks, Red.
Yeah, hey, Red, thank you for that comment. And okay, so I'll tell you what hit me there, Red, of your statement is trust, and that is not lost on me. I think we have, you know, we have locally, I think we have at a state level and at a federal level, that people just don't trust government anymore. And I appreciate that, and I appreciate your comment and your opinion there. And again, without forecasting where I'm going to go tonight, I'm trying to weigh multiple viewpoints here. We all live in a bubble to a degree. We all have people that we run into, you know, at work, you know, at our kids' sporting events, and we are oftentimes reinforced with our dogma or our way of thinking. I can tell you that I've gone to great lengths to try to listen to people on both sides of every issue. There's not one vote I've taken up to this point that I've lost any sleep over. I don't take exception to any of the opinions in the newspaper, the media, because, again, I acted from a principled place, which is what I said I would do in the beginning. I appreciate the comments that you shared there, Red, and those of the other people who disagree with me of where I voted 2 weeks ago. And I will take that, and I'll consider it. And we're here where we are today. I want to see us, though, come together as a community.
Okay. All right. Here, we're going to take a quick break here. Our guest is Reading City Councilman Brent Weaver. We'll be right back after these messages.
That time of year again for the 33rd annual Reading Gun Show, March 7th and 8th. Saturday hours are 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Sunday is 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Holiday Inn Convention Center, 1900 Hilltop Drive here in Reading, California. For more information, you can contact Jones's Fort at 222-3223 or Eagles Landing at 222-8556. And all proceeds go to the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center.
Prepare for the coming summer with our winter special now through March at Sight for Sore Eyes on Cypress Avenue and save 50% on all sunglass frames. At Sight for Sore Eyes, we provide competitive prices and the personal service you can only get from a locally owned eye care professional. Right now, with your purchase of a complete pair of eyeglasses, we'll subtract $100, plus we'll give you a second pair of glasses absolutely free. This is a standalone offer not valid with any other offers, discounts, coupons, or insurance programs. Some restrictions apply. Please see our store for complete details. Sight for Sore Eyes has same-day service, precision-crafted lenses, and a large selection of stylish designer frames. Or if your budget is tight, we also have a large selection of budget-friendly frames. Fast, friendly service, reasonably priced eyewear, and veterans discounts are our specialty at Sight for Sore Eyes on Cypress Avenue next to Leslie's Pools. We accept all current doctor's prescriptions, all major credit cards, and we do your insurance paperwork. Sight for Sore Eyes. Call for an appointment today.
As we join Bob, the Mount Shasta Springwater Drop, we find him with new recruits.
Bob is cool and Bob is swell. He didn't come out of a well.
So, do you have what it takes to be Mount Shasta Springwater?
Yes, sir! I'm pure and natural, sir!
And why are you here?
Because I don't want to be filtered, sir.
All right, Drips, so Drops, you've got what it takes, so be pure and make America proud.
Bob is cool and he's on top. He's by far the coolest drop. Yes, sir!
Mount Shasta Springwater, pure and simple, naturally the best.
And all American, too.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Listen up, employers. Veterans can be a great asset to your company or organization. Veterans have gained skills in leadership, teamwork, and performance under pressure. Veterans have received the very best training in their fields and are never afraid to tackle a tough situation to accomplish the mission. If you are looking to hire a veteran, the Department of Labor can help you make it happen. You hire a veteran today, you won't be sorry.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott, it is the 3rd of February, and it's about 11 till 9. 47 degrees out there today. It doesn't look, I think we're going to be okay today, and the rain's going to start tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, maybe just a little bit Sunday. Good morning, everybody. Our guest is Brent Weaver, Reading City Councilman. We've talked about crime. We've talked about the EUC. We've talked about the votes on moving the public comment. Now, as we move into our last 8 or 9 minutes, I want to get into some of the things that, you know, when you ran, you talked about changes. You talked about looking at the permitting and the fees and bringing in the business here in town. What are you finding out so far?
Sure. So, you know, there's three things I wanted to share with your audience that I'm excited about as we're moving forward here. First one is I believe the city needs to do a better job with our social medias and our outreach and how we're communicating with our public. As we know, media is changing, Carl. You know, we have traditional radio, we have newsprint, but the younger generations, you know, we're talking Twitter, Instagram, Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
And so
email's too slow.
That's right. Email, we need it instantly. And so I have a meeting set up here in the next week and a half for a volunteer from a computer startup company to meet with myself and the city manager. We're going to open our first Instagram for the city of Reading, and we're going to highlight on there, you know, all those things that make Reading special and beautiful and why you want to, you know, be here if you're living here. But then we're also going to sprinkle in some historical things. We want to get, you know, pictures of our firefighters in front of, you know, the downtown fire station, or one of our police officers, you know, up on a call. And you know, for those who understand Instagram, it's a way to create, you know, local awareness. But also those who follow us, if we like this Instagram, then our friends from outside of Reading are also going to see these pictures. And we're going to start networking out. And, you know, and it's interesting, as I was kind of researching some of these social medias for the city, you know, I was looking at Provo City, where I went to college,
right,
and I was following, you know, the people on that Instagram who like it, and I was so – it was impressed upon me, Carl, that I was looking at 20-year-olds that were engaged in the local government because of that social media outreach, and I want to see the city of Reading do that also.
I think we need to do that.
Okay. Second is going to be on the building department. Huge issue. You know, I think I've said to, you know, in my staff meetings, short of public safety, unfunded liabilities, the building department is the third topic that I heard the most over the last year on the campaign. So I lobbied to be the development services liaison. Mayor Sullivan you know, I'm glad she assigned me that role. So I've met with Bill Nagel. We have a lunch coming up next week, and we're going to set up a framework where we're going to reach out to different organizations in the community to gather feedback on our building department. We want the good, the bad, the indifferent. So Chamber of Commerce.
Is this going to be anonymous, or you got to give names? The reason I'm asking this is there are people that have come to me, and we've talked about stories. A lot of them don't want their names used, Brent. I mean, you know this. Because they are literally afraid that they're going to turn around and that's the last permit they're going to get.
Yeah, again, the without having, you know, Bill and I have just said at a high level we're going to do this. Bill's behind it. I'm behind it. We'll answer that question. I think the spirit of it is we want the information. And
so we need to do some changes here.
Yeah.
Marisha Hennison wants to build his place across from the Veterans Home. $1.5 million in fees and permits? I mean, on a $9 million building, there's something there that's kind of strange.
Well, okay, so getting me off on a side issue here with fees.
That's what I'm just talking about, though. Those are kind of fees you're looking at, right?
Fees are a big part of this conversation, but also a part of this conversation is if you're a new business coming to the city of Reading, how quickly can you get that building permit and get your building up?
Yes.
Is the process streamlined? You know, I understand it. But it's taken me several years to understand it. How about for the new business coming in or somebody that's here in Reading? So very excited about that.
Okay.
And along with reaching out to the community.
When should we hear something about that?
Well, I want to add one more thing real quick, Carl. I'm also going to go and outreach to other communities and their building departments so we can take best practices and not try to reinvent the wheel to a degree. So we will be hearing something, I would imagine, mid to end of February. Okay. How are we doing on time?
5 minutes. That's what the 5-minute mark here.
Okay. And then the third thing that I wanted to talk about briefly is obviously the blueprint for public safety.
Right.
We talked very high level at the beginning.
Right.
But I will tell you, I'm really, really encouraged by the feedback from our supervisors, from Larry Lees, how they want to participate with Sheriff Basenko. I know Chief Paletti is currently researching the content that he's going to put in that plan as we bring in this consultant. And it's not, again, I can appreciate that. We wish it was done tomorrow. But if we get this plan right, Carl, over the next, 6, 7, 8 months, we will see this community, I believe, transform and change over the next few years. We need a good plan to know how we're going to change.
If we can chase them out of the illegal camps, we need to chase them off the streets somehow. And how about this? Let's go into the Safe City Plan.
Sure.
There's some low-hanging fruit there, as we call it, about bus tickets home and some other things. There were some others that caused some consternation. These people on the streets that are here that are using our streets as toilets and all this, there's – The bottom line is we need more police.
We
How are we going to get more police, Brent? I mean, and if we're talking about a tax raise, we're talking about right now we are short 28 sworn officers. That doesn't even count community service. What are we going
to
do about
that? All right. So I'm going to answer that, and I'm going to try to come back to the Safe City question. So how do we get more police officers? Well, obviously we need the money, okay? And where I'm at today – everyone's saying, are you going to be for a tax measure? Are we going to see a tax measure? I'm going to say the same language that I said when I was running the campaign. Before we ask for any additional revenue from the community, we as elected city council members have to look at our current budget. Mm-hmm. We have to look at our current priorities. And only then, if we can determine that we cannot reprioritize, there is no hidden money, then we just have to have that conversation with the community and find out where they're at. But it goes back to that trust factor.
Right.
If we go immediately to asking for more money without looking, to me, there is that trust issue. So I'm telling you as a business person, I will not go out there and get behind any tax increase until I can answer those questions first. Regarding Safe City, we have seen two things from 11 or 12 solutions they had. So one is the – it's not called Homeward Bound.
It's where we send them home, though.
But we're giving the bus tickets home. I know they changed the name.
Joe Wong put up $16,000.
Yeah, and we've had a few other members in the community come forward with $1,200, $1,600, so that's encouraging. The other item that came forward is code enforcement. Like I said, I think part of that was through the campaign.
Part of it was through
Safe City, and we're seeing I want another 2 or 3 code enforcement officers. We need to do what we're doing in the illegal camps. We need to do those with the seedy motels and hotels as well. Okay.
Okay.
And then, you know, they have a lot of other items that some fall under the county, some fall under the city, but those should be considered when our law enforcement leaders are determining which strategies and tactics go into that blueprint.
Okay. Brent, should this be a should the city council be a full-time job, do you think?
Well,
I mean, where the people get paid
I can tell
for
you
it?
For me right now, it's a full-time job. I would say I'm putting in a minimum of 40 to 50 hours in a week. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I signed up for it. I'm glad I did it. I have no doubt I will look back in 4, 8, 12 years, and I will have no regrets. You're on an adrenaline rush, and you're making a difference. And so that's a good place to be in life.
Missy said that she'd vote for you for president.
Well, I got a lot of hazing the next day on that, and so I have had to remind people.
She said it in a cheerful way.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Right,
so
about working with you.
You know what I'll say though to that? Really, I would say it for Missy, Francie, Gary, Cad, and Kristen. Carl. We are all different. You know, when I actually look at the five of our personalities, we are very different. But I think we have an opportunity to come together as a council. Gary's been very respectful to me, as have the other council members, and I believe we're going to move the community forward because it's the right thing to do.
All right. Brent Weaver, our newest, along with Kristen and our newest city council members, though we may not agree on things, I'm glad that you're taking a stand and telling people why. And telling the community why you're doing things and how you want to move the city forward, Brent. And I appreciate that.
Thank you, Carl. And thanks for all those out there. Hopefully you have a great day.
All right. Okay. Hey, tomorrow is Wednesday, and we've got a lot of different – we've got the chief of police coming in tomorrow. So I'm looking forward to that. And Chief Paletti, who made an arrest yesterday on the street, arrested somebody. And, you know, that was great. Remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down. Gonna stand.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Standard & Poor's is taking a huge hit, paying more than $1 billion in a settlement with the Justice Department. The government accused S&P of intentionally boosting its ratings of risky mortgage investments that helped to trigger the 2008 financial crisis. Attorney General Eric Holder.
S&P was driven by its desire for increased profits and market share to favor the interests of issuers over investors.
Justice sued S&P a couple of years ago. Just over 100 measles cases have been confirmed in 14 states as debate rages over the measles vaccine. House Speaker John Boehner contends all children should be vaccinated, and Tennessee Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn seems to agree.
When I hear about counties in California that have lower immunization rates than the Sudan and Chad, this is something that is of concern.